our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So, when a child is sick, the child knows to turn to their parents. And the parent then knows to maybe go to the pharmacist and ask, what medicine can I give to my child? You say the child's age, and you get the recommended dosage, the best medicine for the child who is not feeling well. And then if the medicine doesn't work, you as a parent usually know then, okay, you can take your child to the pediatrician. And the pediatrician can prescribe stronger medicine or steps to help make the child better. And there are, unfortunately, some cases where even the pediatrician that you first meet with cannot help the child get better. And then that pediatrician will refer the parent to a specialist. So the parent then turns to a specialist. And then if the specialist doesn't work out, the parent might have to turn to someone else that the specialist recommends. Maybe someone who can do radiology, an oncologist, a physical therapist. Parents have all these resources to turn to. When a child is sick, it turns to the parent. The parent then turns to the pharmacist. The parent then turns to a pediatrician, turns to a specialist, turns to a surgeon or others if there are still things that need to be done. We all know when someone is sick who we can turn to when we are physically sick. But do we know who we can turn to when we are spiritually sick? This morning's passage talks about Jesus' encounter with a young girl, a father who loves his young daughter so much that he is turning to Jesus. Yes, the girl is physically sick, but there might be things spiritually wrong with the girl or the families as well. And the father is doing the right thing. He is turning to Jesus because he knows that Jesus brings God's love to all. So we're going to learn a little bit about that in this morning's scripture passage. But first I wanted to do kind of a fun survey, a raise your hand kind of thing. So raise your hand if you've ever had the chicken pox. I think most of us, I see some people not sure, but, you know. If you haven't and you're an adult, be very careful. I heard it is very bad if you get the chicken pox or measles as an adult. And we might check with Ronald, our doctor, later on. So raise your hand if you've ever broken a bone. Couple, a little bit less, okay. Raise your hand if you've ever had wisdom teeth pulled. Okay. Yeah, we know John's husband recently had wisdom teeth pulled, so we'll be praying for him as he recovers. Raise your hand if you've had a serious illness, cancer, diabetes, or something more serious. A couple of people. And then also raise your hand if you've ever had any other kind of surgery. So we've all experienced things that have happened to us physically. Chickenpox, you get mumps. Broken bone, you of course are in much pain until that bone is set and healed. Surgery are things that happen to us physically to help heal us. Wisdom teeth, you have to get your wisdom teeth eventually pulled out, especially if they are growing in impacted ways. And cancer and illnesses, these are things that affect us physically. But then when we think about how are we affected spiritually, sometimes I think we don't really pay attention to what is happening to ourselves spiritually. We are so concerned about the physical that we forget about the spiritual. If you remember a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of Lent, in your worship bulletin, I had that insert that as you were thinking about things to either give up or take on for Lent, I encourage you to look at those characteristics that were in the insert. And I know some people took on things like, it's wonderful, I've heard a church member who was taking on reading the Bible daily or hearing the scripture passage audio-wise. Some church members have taken on doing more service to the church. Some persons have given up things for Lent, given up coffee, given up desserts. And Jordan and I won't share about our dessert last night, but we figured when we were having dessert last night, it was already midnight in Georgia, or nearly Georgia time, where she's from. So, you know, Canada's that Sunday. But you either give up or take on something, and usually it's easier to give up or take on something physically. We don't then work on the spiritual side as much. So if you remember some of the things from that list that we were encouraged to give up, these are things that kind of address our spiritual selves. I encourage you to think about giving up the fear of failure. How often do we not take on a project because we are afraid we're going to fail? Or how often do we not try something because we're afraid it's not going to work out? Or what about people-pleasing? Sometimes people want to please others so much that they overextend themselves, that they'd rather please the other person even when they know they themselves are being hurt. Or what about guilt? How often do we feel guilt over something that we might have done wrong or let that guilt weigh us down? negativity. Some people do tend to be, you know, a little more pessimistic, but then they let that negativity rule their lives and they look at things in a negative way. Whether it's news reports or friends sharing news or working with coworkers, they become to be so negative. They let that negativity take over their lives. Worry. How many of us are always worrying? We worry about our mortgages, we worry about our kids' schooling, we worry about the state of the country, we worry about the environment. We just worry about all these things. Some people even worry so much that they are paralyzed and it's hard for them to drive because they're always worried about getting into an accident. How often do we let worry ruin our lives? There's also pride, and there's also envy, there's also jealousy. There's all these characteristics that some of us might have one or two or even three or more. Those are things that affect us spiritually. So when I think about this morning's passage and we see how Jesus interacts with the people, we know that Jesus is feeling the people, yes, physically, but he is also helping them spiritually, reminding the people that, yes, we have certain people we turn to when we are physically in need or physically ill, but we must always remember to turn to God when we are spiritually not well. And then when we know we must turn to God, sometimes we say things to stop ourselves. We say, well, we can't turn to God because our problem is so small, you know, or I'm worrying all the time, but God doesn't need to worry about my worries. Or we stop ourselves from turning to God because we think that God just won't answer our prayers. You know, I'm so worried about this, but I know that God has bigger things to deal with, and he's just not going to answer my prayers, and I'm just afraid I'm going to fail him again. You know, or we are concerned that maybe we focus too much on one thing, that we're not focused on the church or other things that we are told every Sunday we should be focused on. Some things stop us from turning to God. But in this morning's passage, it's a neat passage, and theologians, when they look at this morning's passage, they call it a sandwich package. A sandwich package happens in the Gospels where there's a story within a story. We're very familiar with sandwich passages where Jesus is being asked a question as he is talking to his disciples. And how does Jesus answer that question? He answers it in a parable with a story. So there you get a story of a parable within a story of Jesus talking to his disciples. But this morning's passage does a very unique thing. This passage where the synagogue leader, Jairus, comes to Jesus is a story within two stories. So it's a sandwich story. Before Jesus encounters Jairus, he has then just healed a man who had been possessed by demons. And then when Jairus approaches Jesus to come help his daughter who is ill, Jesus, on the way to look at the daughter, encounters a woman who has been bleeding. So there is sort of three stories: the man who had been possessed by a demon, Jairus whose daughter is ill, and then the woman who is bleeding. And Jairus' story is sort of sandwiched between those two stories. But the author of Mark purposely does this for a very important reason. The theologian Dr. Michael Keel says that the author of Mark does this, sandwiches this story in between other stories, because as he wants us to learn, the author of Mark, that we must have faith and not fear, that we must be fearless in our faith. And we can learn that from these three short stories sandwiched in Mark, because we see that Jesus helped someone who was possessed by demons. Jesus helped a man whose daughter was ill, and Jesus helped a woman who had been bleeding for many years. Jesus helped all these people, and they were a mix of people. Jairus was a Jewish person, a respected leader in his community. But the man who had been possessed by demons and the woman who had been bleeding in this passage from Mark chapter 5, they were considered unclean. They were considered outcasts. They were not Jewish people, but yet Jesus still helped them, showing that faith trumped fear, that these people knew that they needed to turn to Jesus, and then they became fearless in their faith. And in this morning's passage, Jairus, the leader, he was also fearless in his faith, for a crowd had gathered around Jesus, and many people, I'm sure, were asking about Jesus to help him with things. But Jairus was so concerned and knew he loved his daughter so much that he knew the answer was through Jesus, that Jesus could help him and heal his daughter. We need to be like Jairus, to be fearless in our faith and turn to Jesus when we are in need. when spiritual need and physical need, and all the times you must turn to Jesus, because Jesus gives us God's love. Jesus gives us God's healing, and Jesus gives us God's grace. So we come in this morning's passage, and we know that many people have gathered around Jesus. And here comes Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, a Jewish person, but a leader, a great leader. And yet, even before Jesus, he knew that Jesus was the one he needed to turn to. And turn to he did. It says in this morning's passage in verse 22, that when he, Jairus, saw him, he fell at his feet and he begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so she may be made well." Jairus knew what he needed to do. He knew he needed to humble himself and fall before Jesus' feet and beg Jesus to help him. When we are spiritually not well, sometimes we let pride go take over, and we are afraid to ask for help. But Jesus is reminding us that you, yes, can ask me for help. Just be humble and recognize that I can help you. So we must humble ourselves and be in prayer and be willing to ask for Jesus' help, because Jesus brings us God's love. And Jairus then goes on to say, "Please help me," and he begs Jesus, and Jesus answers that he will go with him. And a large crowd continues to press on Jesus and Jairus and the crowd. So we know that while Jesus was encountering then the woman who comes in the next few scripture passages, that the time has been spent as Jesus is healing that woman. And in that time, they hear that Jairus' daughter has passed away. So then we come to this morning's passage in verse 35, where it says, "While Jesus was still speaking, some people came to the leader's house to say that your daughter is dead. So why trouble this teacher any further?" And overhearing this, Jesus answers to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." That is how it is a reminder in this morning's passage that we must be fearless in our faith. The author of the Gospel of Mark is reminding people to not be fearful of God, but to be full of faith for God. And we're learning that through Jesus' actions when he tells the leader in this morning's passage, "Do not fear, only believe." And Jairus does not fear, and he does only believe. And they do continue on to Jairus' house. So then when they come to the house, Jesus does a special and unique thing. He takes with him Peter, James, and John into the house. And in the house, he sees all the people weeping and wailing loudly. There is a saying that in those times when someone passed away, there was not a mortuary or hospital where you would take the deceased body to. But there was a group of people who would come to the home and do their appropriate time of mourning. They would wail, they would weep, they would prepare the body for burial, they would cleanse the body, they would anoint the body in oil, and wrap the body in cloth. And all this time they would continue to cry and wail and weep in honor of the family and in honor of the loved one who passed away. In a way, they would be what you would call professional mourners. It would be kind of an interesting job to have. But these people were doing what they were supposed to do because they had thought that this girl had passed away. But when Jesus enters and he sees them, he says, "Why? Why do you make a commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but only sleeping." And what do these people, these professional mourners, do? What is their reaction when Jesus tells them this? They laugh at him. They don't see Jesus as a person to turn to. They don't believe that God can answer the prayers of Jairus, this faithful servant and leader of this church area. They don't recognize that Jesus is a person that can bring God's love and healing grace to the child. We know from the words of Paul in 2 Peter 3:9, that there is a passage that said, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." We must remember that the Lord is not slow. The Lord is patient with us, and we, in turn, must be patient with the Lord. So Jesus then sends all the people outside. He takes the child's father and mother and those who are with him, with James and Peter and John, and in that room, he goes to the child, and Jesus does this special thing. He takes the child's hand and says to her, "Talitha, come," which means little girl, get up. And what happens when the family turns to Jesus, when the disciples are with Jesus, and when Jesus touches the hand of the little girl and tells her to get up? The wonderful thing happens. The girl gets up. It says immediately the girl got up and she began to walk about, and all that saw this were overcome and amazed. Jesus does this unique thing, though. He orders them, he strictly orders them to not tell others about this, that no one should know about this, but instead give the girl something to eat. Now, it's really funny if you truly read this passage, because how can Jesus say to them, don't tell anyone about this, but yet the girl is obviously alive, she's going to be eating, and she's not going to stay in that house the rest of her life. She's going to go out, and everyone, of course, is going to know about this. But what Jesus is saying instead is, this moment was a special moment made possible because of your faith, and let your faith be what shares, tells the story. So then focus on this wonderful story about how your faith, your fearless faith, led to me coming, because you turned to me, Jesus, and I reached out and I healed the girl and she was made alive. That is what Jesus is saying. He is saying, not focusing on overcome with amazement they had, that awe that he performed this miracle, kind of like a magician's act. But don't focus on that, but instead focus on sharing how your faith, your fearless faith, helped make this girl become alive. Jesus is teaching them that lesson, how he helped the girl spiritually, and then also reminded the family to feed her physically as well. We know that the physical and the spiritual ourselves are very connected to each other. When you are physically ill, you have those symptoms. You might have a fever, you might have a cough, you might have a sore throat, you might have body aches. But that does, if we are true or admit it to ourselves, also affect how we are spiritually or emotionally. Have you ever had to go to work with a cold? And then don't you then, when you are sick at work, just feel tired, or you don't want to attempt to do the work before you or a task? Or I know when I was little, I hated piano lessons. And I reached the age about 10 or 11 where I hated these lessons so much. My teacher was mean. I knew I hadn't practiced enough during the week and it would be a bad lesson. So spiritually and emotionally, I was not ready for my lesson. And then I would become physically ill. My father was the one who took care of my sister and I after school, and we'd have piano lessons every Monday. And sure enough, Monday when I'd come home from school, I'd say, Dad, I have a sore throat, or Dad, I'm not feeling really well. And my poor dad, I would trick him. I would do things like I would take the thermometer and put it next to the light bulb. Have you ever done that? Or sometimes in like late spring when it was 85 degrees outside, I'd come home and say, Dad, I'm going to take a nap, and I'd pile the comforters and covers on me. So then when my dad would come to get me for my piano lesson, I'd be sweaty and hot, and I'd say, Dad, I'm sick, I can't go to piano lesson. So my dad would say, okay, I'll just take your sister, you can stay home. And it worked for a couple of months until my mom caught on, and my piano teacher told my mom, you know, Eva's missing about 2 lessons each month, what's happening? But I was emotionally and spiritually, I didn't want to go to the lessons, and that made me affect myself physically. And that happens. Our physical and emotional selves, our spiritual selves, are connected. So just as we attend to our physical selves, everyone raised their hand mostly because they've had chicken pox, or some raise their hands because they had a broken bone, or you've been in the hospital or had wisdom teeth pulled out. We know how to take care of our physical selves very, very well. But we must also attend to our spiritual selves as well. So as we continue in the season of Lent, think about things that you can do. Continue to read the Bible daily. Continue to be involved with church and Bible study and fellowship groups. Continue to think about ways you can draw closer to God to feed your spiritual self. But most importantly of all, remember always to turn to Jesus Christ. Just as Jairus, the synagogue leader, did in this morning's message, knowing that Jesus would reach out to him. And one important thing to recognize is Jesus, in this sandwich scripture passage, reached out to Jairus' daughter, who was considered dead and would be considered unclean as the people were preparing her dead body. Jesus also reached out to the man who was possessed by demons, also a person considered unclean. And Jesus also reached out and healed the woman who had been bleeding, also a person considered unclean. Jesus is showing that God's love is available for all people, that you can turn to him no matter what you've done. As long as you have a heart for Christ, As long as you're willing to repent of what you've done wrong in the past, Jesus will be there. He is the person we can turn to give us God's grace and love. And this morning, in a few minutes, we will share communion together to remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, as we as Christians remember this wonderful gift of grace given to us through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Creator, we come humbly before you, both physically and spiritually, knowing that you are the person we must always turn to. For we know your Son, Jesus Christ, shared this message in all he encountered, from the young child to the person possessed by demons to the woman who was ill. For we know that the faith of the young girl's father led him to be fearless in his faith, willing to humble himself to ask Jesus for help and to show how he had such faith in Jesus' works. We ask, Lord, that you continue to guide us to strive to be like this as well, so that we know we always must turn to you first when we feel ourselves spiritually in lows and depths. For you bring us out of our depths. You bring us your love and grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We come together for now this time of Holy Communion. Hear these words of invitation. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Okay. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image, breathe the breath of life. And when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of the suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family and all the world joining at his holy table. On the night in which he saved himself up for us, Lord Jesus took the bread. Gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Our communion table is an open communion table. You are invited to come forward as you are able by the ushers to receive the bread and the juice.
Right. Let me be as gold and precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure. Cleanse me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within.
Let us pray. Gracious and holy Lord, this day we take communion together as a church family, remembering we are your children, and the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, whose body was broken on the cross for us, whose blood was shed on the cross for us. May we be forever thankful for this gift, for your love poured out for us, not just on this Holy Communion Sunday, but each and every day. For Lord, you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. And we now pray together the prayer your Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses.
Please stand as you are able for the doxology. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have blessed us with many gifts, and from these gifts we bring you our offering. Help us to use these gifts to furthering your purpose in this community. May these gifts be used for the building up of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to turn your attention to the right-hand side of the bulletin for the announcements. The spring UMW Spring Food Fair is next Sunday on Palm Sunday, April 9th. Are there any additional announcements from the floor before I have a special announcement from SPRC? Yes, Terry. Okay. Any other announcements from the floor?
This might be just a fun, quick poll. The fundraising committee is working on fun ways to raise funds. And one thing we came found out was some restaurants, of course, if you remember, will give proceeds. If you eat on a certain day and church members turn in a flyer. We found out that Ono Hawaiian Barbecue is one restaurant, and theirs is 30% now back to the church. And then also Chipotle gives 50% back to the church. So if you think those are ones you might be interested in eating at, definitely maybe see Jenny after worship. And we can try to figure out which restaurant we will try to do first, maybe at the end of April. So that's just a fun thing to think about.
Okay. Any additional announcements from the floor? Okay. In regards to SBRC, on behalf of the Staff Parish Relations Committee and our chairperson, Auntie Peck Chan, I'd like to share with you that Reverend Tan will be retiring at end of June. His last Sunday here will be June 25th, and his last day will be June 30th. We are thankful for his 2 years of service at CMC, and we respect his discernment to retire from full-time ministry and return home to Texas and then eventually to Singapore. Okay. On that Sunday, June 25th, we will have a joint English and Chinese worship service and then a special luncheon afterwards. Okay. Also, Pastor Eva, after Easter, will be taking some time off from April 23rd to May 30th to focus on renewal time, so she will be on renewal leave and also growing her family. She is appreciative of those who will be...
No news yet.
Not yet. I'm just reading what she wrote. She is very appreciative of those who are will preach for her on Sundays, and then she will return in June. So let's keep both pastors in prayer, and also the bishop and superintendents as they appoint a new Chinese pastor beginning July 1st of this year. Okay.
So I am, during those 6 Sundays I will be away, arranging for guest preachers. Reverend Chow, retired Chinese pastor, might be able to share, and Alan from the Chinese service as well. I've also secured our West District Superintendent. He will be here next Communion Sunday, the first Sunday in May. So everyone please show up, and he will lead us with message and also communion. And if you are interested in sharing your faith story during one of our Sunday sermons, there are still some spots that are available, so definitely see me. We'd love to have everyone be able to share if they'd like.
Okay, thank you. If there's nothing else, we will move on to the closing hymn. Please stand as you are able for Lamb of God.
Sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laugh and scorn him as he died. The humble king they name a fraud and sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God. I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. But You have brought me to Your side, to be led by Your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you remember to turn to Christ, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to go out into the world and share the good news, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody knows.